Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Astrology Now podcast. My name is Christine Rodriguez, and in this segment, we are going to be discussing the month of April and what is occurring astrologically and how to best utilize this energy to our advantage. And so I know this podcast is coming a little late. We're already almost 2 weeks into April, but we had that massive solar eclipse. I wanted to talk about how it was going to influence all of the signs. And so hopefully, though this is late, it still benefits you and supports you through the month of April. And I think that April is one of the busiest months of the year, honestly. I mean, we did have the solar eclipse on April 8th, but there's so much else happening as well. And I am going to reference a few events happening in May. So though this is coming late, hopefully it gives you a little bit of a heads up for May to compensate. So let's go ahead and talk about April and kind of what's going on. It is the 12th as I record this. I don't usually record on Fridays. I like to publish at 6 a.m. on Friday. That's typically what I do. But I think I've told y'all before, I started working as a social worker again. And so as I've been acclimating to having another job and having, I mean, it's a big responsibility, I'm just kind of getting pushed back, but I'm still just so grateful that I have time to sit down and record this and be with you all today. So again, it's coming a little bit late, but hopefully it's helpful nonetheless. So as I record this, it's April 12th. We just had this combination of Saturn and Mars that occurred between April 10th and April 11th. It's, you know, it's kind of dissipating now, but Saturn and Mars are still certainly conjunct. They're within a degree of each other. And so as you listen to this, you can either reflect on the energy or it could still be something that's influencing you. Saturn and Mars are contrary in nature. Mars is trying to pick up and go. It's trying to be impulsive. It's trying to make things happen. It's very energized. It can be impulsive. It can kind of like move by passion. That's what Mars is. If someone has a lot of Mars energy, they're very passionate. They just kind of impulsively do things. Like if they are filled with the spirit of passion, they just kind of move. Saturn is very thoughtful. It's calculative. It thinks about the long-term outcome. It's very pragmatic. It wants to slow down. So Mars is wanting to speed up while Saturn is wanting to slow down. And so it creates this stop-go energy. And so some of us may really be feeling that. We may be feeling torn between priorities. We may be feeling really limited on our time or our energetic resources. Mars being energy and being with Saturn, we may just be very much aware of our energetic limit right now. We may have so much that we're needing to do and we're like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. I only have time for X, Y, and Z. So my advice is definitely to create a priority list and really try to think about what is most important in life. And instead of trying to do 50 things poorly, try to do 4 or 5 things exceptionally well. And be very aware that you are not a machine. You are a human being. You have a beating heart. You have blood. You have to eat to survive. You have to breathe to survive. We only have so much energy. So try not to push yourself too much because it can lead to burnout, can also lead to accidents or illness. It's a great time to balance being productive and being energetic and moving from passion while also slowing down and resting. And this could actually be a time of having some health stuff pop up. As we've mentioned before on previous podcasts, it can be a time of having surgery. You know, Mars and Saturn both can represent surgery. It's an Aquarius, which is a sign of health and wellness. There can be a lot with health come up. And it's actually interesting. One of my best friends went to the ER. Her dad had heart surgery. One of my clients had surgery. I'm seeing it pop up quite a bit. So it is something to keep in mind. And in the external world, there can be a focus on innovations with technology and health and wellness. And it is, you know, we do need to be keeping an eye out because more people could be needing surgery or having health things kind of come to the surface. Just kind of a reminder, Saturn is going to be in Aquarius until March of 2025. And Aquarius is a futuristic and progressive sign. And I'm reminding you all of this because we have so much emphasis right now and coming up this year in 2024, so much emphasis on technology, futuristic thinking, new innovative ideas. I mean, it's the future. It's the time of AI. It's the time of lab-grown meat, if you're Jeff Bezos. You know, it's an interesting thing to behold. And so I think that this can be a really great thing. I think that we can have innovation and technology that can save people and help people and improve life and make it easier. And I think we need to watch out for some of these things. We were going to talk about this later in the podcast, but we can go ahead and talk about it now. Jupiter is entering Taurus on May 1st. And Taurus is the sign of food and resources and sustenance. Of course, it also has to do with finances and the economy. It's an earth sign. The earth signs are associated with wealth and money. And Jupiter entering Taurus, it's going to put this emphasis on food and resources. And then Uranus is going to enter Taurus as well. And Uranus is new innovation. It's totally revolutionary. It does things that has never been done before, has these breakthroughs. And so I think there's going to be this emphasis on things like lab-grown meat and appeal. You know, appeal is this coating that they put on fruits and vegetables. And that may not bother some of y'all, but there are some really good lists online of fruits and vegetables that don't have that on it. Me and my boyfriend kind of go out of our way at the store to check everything. And anyway, that's a whole rabbit hole in and of itself. But anyway, I think that there's going to be this focus on how to sustain for the future. And some people may be approaching that from more of a natural, holistic standpoint, and some people may be approaching it more from the scientific, you know, kind of technological standpoint, if that makes sense. So things to watch out for. We have a lot happening in the night sky that would point to new futuristic ways of doing things, even Rahu and Pisces. Okay. So on April 9th, we're kind of shifting gears a little bit, Mercury retrograde back into the sign of Pisces. So Mercury was in Aries. It went retrograde. It just moved back into the sign of Pisces. Remember that Mercury is debilitated in the sign of Pisces. And there's, you know, things to add to that. But Mercury is our cognitive processing. It's our communication skills. It's our ability to rationalize. It is technology. Mercury is anything that we do online. It's computers, texting, emails, even calling people on the telephone. And Mercury has to do with the inner workings of different apparatuses. So appliances in the kitchen, it could be various things inside of our car. So when Mercury retrogrades, all of us need to be more mindful of these things. Technology, communication, things breaking down, things going awry. In Vedic philosophy, if a planet is debilitated but also retrograde, it tends to mitigate the negative effect of the planet. In Vedic philosophy, if a planet is debilitated and conjoined an exalted planet, it mitigates the effect. So right now, Mercury is debilitated, yes, but it's also retrograde, and it's with an exalted Venus. So I'm not going to lie, there's still absolutely the possibility of having some of these mercurial issues, you know, issues with technology and communication and whatever, all of that stuff. And there could be some health stuff coming up with skin. It could be neurological stuff. It could be the nervous system, the lungs. These are things that Mercury represents as well. And I see this being such an amazing time for creativity and expression, writing poems, being romantic, being very much in our feelings and being able to express our feelings. And so if you are a creative type, if you enjoy writing or art, painting, even if it's like photography, anything around artistic expression or even emotional expression, this is actually a really great time. And I could even see this being a great time for research and scientific discoveries and innovations. Remember that Albert Einstein had a stellium in Pisces, and he totally had these awesome breakthroughs in science and physics. His brain operated differently. He was able to see things and conceive of things that others just couldn't do. And the sign of Pisces kind of pushes the veil back with the material world. It's like we have things that we can see, touch, and feel, and that's what is real, right? Pisces allows us to see what is real behind what we can touch and feel. It's the energetic aspect. It's the subtlety, the subtle aspect of things. And so this is an amazing time for energy work, getting a psychic reading, getting a tarot reading, getting an astrology reading. So I do see this being a very supportive time for anything that is in that liminal space between the spiritual realm and the material realm. And so for all of us listening, it's like, yeah, astrology, tarot, mysticism, but it could also, again, show up in the world as discovering the power of energy or the power of sound or just, you know, new technological discoveries. So I think it's going to be kind of a cool time. And so Mercury is going to direct on April 25th. So again, just kind of keep in mind that Mercury entered back into Pisces on April 9th, and it will go direct on April 25th. So if you're experiencing some of these mercurial qualities going awry, it should alleviate after April 25th. So the Sun is going to enter Aries on April 13th, where it will stay until May 14th. So first of all, if you were born between April 13th and May 14th in the sidereal system of astrology, your Sun is exalted in the sign of Aries. So happy birthday to all of our Aries Sun. You bring so much joy and spontaneity and passion and excitement into the world. Remember that Aries is a fire sign, and it's also a sign of Dharma. And so I think that the sign of Aries just has a really hard time doing anything that they don't feel passionate or excited about. And because of that, they bring so much passion and inspiration and trailblazing into the world around them. So thank you for making the world an exciting, adventurous, and youthful, fun place. Happy birthday, Aries Sun. So yes, you know, it's the birth month for all of our Aries friends, and the Sun is exalted for everybody. So between these dates of April 13th and May 14th, the Sun is going to be exalted. This is an amazing time for passion and inspiration and travel, excitement, adventure. And, you know, the Sun is also our vitality. And so, you know, the Sun is going to be aspected by Saturn at this period of time. But the way that I see this is that, first of all, it's kind of a continuation of what we were talking about in terms of really utilizing our energy well and making a priorities list, really investing time in the things that matter the most. And I also see this being an opportunity to focus on long-term goals. And again, Aries can have this kind of trailblazing energy. And so if there's something that you've been wanting to do that's kind of out of the box, or it's a new venture in your life, it's a new venture for the world, this could be a really powerful time to introduce that. But you really want to think about the long-term impact and how to really keep things going and to help things last. Because the downside of Aries is that they can start things because they're passionate, they can start things because they're excited, but there's not a lot of follow through, and they can get bored very easily and leave things by the wayside because they're bored and they lost that passionate spark that we were talking about. But with this aspect of Saturn, if you know you're starting a new venture or you have this new idea or you know you want to begin something new, just really think about ways to strategize to help it be a long-term thing, long-term endeavor. Make a strategy list, make a long-term goal list, and just try not to be too impulsive with things. Plan it, strategize it, lay it out before moving forward with plans, because there's definitely an essence of impulsivity and passion this month, for sure, which is so fun, but you know, we don't want to promote an idea too soon. We don't want to jump into something without really thinking it through. Sometimes there is no consequence and it can be fun just to kind of fly by, you know, the seat of our pants. Is that the saying? It's kind of fun just to jump into things. And there are no consequences, but a lot of the time there actually are long-term consequences. So definitely try to find that balance. And in the world around us, we may see new leaders and new influences get noticed. Maybe they get more attention. They get more notoriety. The sun is the planet of leadership and inspiration, CEOs, bosses. It's just an awesome time for, again, new innovative thought and new innovative leaders. And so there could be more inspiration coming up. In our own personal life, this is an awesome time to step into our leadership ability and our ability to trust ourselves, to trust our decisions, to trust our ability not only to lead and influence others, but to lead and influence ourselves. The more power and autonomy we have in our personal life, the more able we are to help and inspire the people around us, right? It's always an inside job first. And so if you struggle with, asking everybody for advice before making a decision, or vacillating on decisions, vacillating on your ability to trust yourself, really, this is a really good month to practice tuning into yourself first. Before asking someone for advice, before looking at what someone else is doing, tune into yourself. Think about it for yourself. Try to use this as a growth's edge. And again, an opportunity to really step into the role of leader in your life and learn how to trust yourself and trust your decisions. It's not an easy thing to do, but this is a very powerful time to do that if it's something that you're practicing. And the sun is going to move through the nakshatras of Ashwini and Bharani and then Kritika. As the sun moves through Ashwini, again, there could be an emphasis on travel. There could be an emphasis on health and wellness. Ashwini is all about natural herbalism. When the sun moves into Bharani nakshatra with Jupiter, I could see this putting even more of an emphasis on reproductive rights. It's been an emphasis. Jupiter is in the nakshatra of Bharani. Jupiter has a lot to do with law and ethics. And so this is why we're seeing so much attention on IVF and reproduction, because Bharani is the female reproductive organ. Bharani is the yoni. And so as Jupiter, the planet of ethics and law, moves through Bharani, there's all of this focus on reproduction and law and order still. And I posted a video about this. I've done a lot of research on reproductive rights and astrological configurations for reproduction rights specifically, and then also women's rights specifically. And Bharani, just, I'm not going to say it's always involved, but it's involved often. And I think that that just makes a lot of sense. So anyway, when the sun moves into Bharani, I think that we can anticipate some more drama in regards to reproductive rights, law and order. And so that's going to be kind of later in the month into May. So keep that in the back of your mind. But there could also be breakthroughs when it comes to IVF or technology with reproduction, helping people achieve pregnancy, helping support infertility. And that could be in anybody. It's just fertility in general. So that could potentially bring some positive influence as well. So between April 16th and April 17th, Venus and Rahu are going to be conjoined around 20 to 21 degrees. They're going to be kind of passing over each other. And so this will continue that energy that we were talking about in terms of being very romantic and being very creative. Excellent for any type of artistic expression or creative expression. Rahu is also futuristic. Venus is all about art and luxury and love and romance. And it's also fertility. So reiterates what we were just talking about with an emphasis on fertility and maybe some futuristic stuff. But there could also be an emphasis on AI, maybe a new breakthrough with AI, maybe some sort of focus in the entertainment industry. Could be music. It could also be like movies, cinema. In our own personal life, this is a time where we might just be feeling particularly creative. We might be feeling romantic and intimate. We may also be more affectionate than usual. It's actually a really nice time also for friendships because Venus is how we give and receive love. And so this could be with intimate partnerships, but it could also be with friendships. So you might be feeling particularly in desire of connection with friends or with partners. It's just a really good time to connect, to spend time together, and maybe to prioritize intimate time, whether it be platonic or romantic, maybe even with yourself, really spending time checking in, seeing how you're doing, how are you feeling, how is everything impacting you, maybe doing something that's really for self-care. Sometimes we talk about self-care and it can be like taking a bubble bath or taking a walk. But it could be, hey, you know, for self-care, I need to schedule 15 minutes in the morning where I just sit and write affirmations or I journal. Or in the evening, I'm going to take half an hour to meditate or put my legs up the wall and just kind of decompress. Just working something into our day that can be supportive of ourselves as well. But anyway, Venus and Rahu definitely can amplify feeling romantic, desire, feelings of connection. And on the less savory side, Rahu can be a little bit taboo. Rahu can be a little bit of a smoke in the mirror effect. This could be a time where people are interested in us, where maybe they're not supposed to be interested in us. I had a client share recently, because I'd mentioned this on a podcast before. I think it was a public podcast. It could have been Patreon. And she was saying that I had mentioned that and that there was someone who was interested in her who has a girlfriend. So it could be things like that where maybe we find ourselves caught up in something that's kind of sneaky or unethical. We ourselves could be interested in someone who maybe we shouldn't be interested in. You know, so my advice with Venus and Rahu is to maintain complete honesty, be completely in your own integrity and authenticity, and really try to, again, just maintain a sense of honor and respect when it comes to love, relationship, and intimacy, because these things can pop up. And the other thing I'll say is that we could become interested in someone who maybe it's not totally what it appears to be, because Neptune is involved as well. So Neptune can be a little illusionary. Rahu can be smoke in the mirror. Venus is hanging out with both of them. So if you are meeting someone new, or if there is someone new who's come into your life, just try to make sure it's exactly what it seems to be. And it can, you know, this could be a highly romantic time. We may meet someone and it is totally legit and exactly what it seems to be. I'm just throwing this out there so that we can all kind of move with caution. And I just want to say, I just received a very sweet message from my partner as I'm talking about Venus and all of this stuff. So what a time to be alive. Enjoy it for what it is. And if you are in relationship, it is a really beautiful time for romantic gestures. So writing notes, sending sweet texts, bringing home flowers, just maybe even acts of service, like cleaning the house, whatever your partner or partners really enjoy and appreciate. It's just a good, it's always a good time to remember these things. But I love these types of transits because if we fall into a rut or if things become monotonous, it's like, oh yeah, like I can create this whenever I want. So definitely a good time. I love Venus. I love Venus. I love Venusian people. That's fun. All right. So April 18th through the 23rd, this is a big combination. This is something that I think everyone is talking about, everyone is anticipating, and everyone is giving such different predictions. So between April 18th and the 23rd, Jupiter and Uranus are going to conjoin at 27 degrees of Aries. Oh my goodness. This does not happen very often at all. Jupiter is the planet of expansion and growth and abundance and optimism and grace. Uranus is a planet that is about sudden awakenings. It's this electric energy. It can bring a sudden, shocking quality, but it can also bring sudden epiphanies or realizations or opportunities. Uranus is incredibly futuristic, yet another configuration that we have happening. So first, I should say, if you have any planets at 27 degrees of Aries, this is especially going to influence you. If you have a planet at 27 degrees of any of the cardinal signs, so Aries, Cancer, Capricorn, Libra, this will also impact you pretty dramatically because it's going to create that square aspect. But I've got to say, if 27 degrees of Aries, 27 degrees of Libra, it's particularly a really big time for you. There could be sudden expansion or change or epiphany in regards to that planet. So if this Uranus-Jupiter conjunction is happening at 27 degrees of Venus for you, it might be something with relationships. If it's the sun, it might be your personal authority. It could be your father. It could be something with a boss or a leader. If it's the moon, it could be something emotionally, something with the mother. So that's something to keep an eye on. For all of us, wherever Aries is in our birth chart. So we talk about this on Patreon, patreon.com/astrologynowpodcast. I do horoscopes weekly and we'll talk about how this will influence each of the 12 signs. But wherever Aries is in your birth chart, this is where this sudden realization or this sudden electric event occurs. So if you are a Scorpio ascendant, this is occurring in the sixth house. It could be something with work, your day-to-day life. It could be something with pets or health and wellness. If you are an Aries ascendant, it's your first house. So it's yourself, it's your sense of meaning, your sense of purpose. If Aries is in your 10th house, it could be around your career, your vocation. That would mean your Cancer ascendant. So you want to find where Aries is in your birth chart to determine where this conjunction is going to take place, because there can absolutely be an opportunity, a breakthrough, a sudden change, a jolt, a realization, maybe even some sort of opportunity. But it's important to remember that Uranus can shake things up. This is part of why we've been having more earthquakes recently. So notice what happens around the 18th to 23rd, because there can be things that rock the world, literally or figuratively. And Jupiter also has to do with the economy. It has to do with wealth and finances. Definitely there can be a pretty big shakeup or change in regards to economics or the stock market, finances in general. So really big time. I think, again, for some of us, we may be having a sudden discovery where we're like, oh my God, I need to change what we're doing, or oh my God, you know, my life is going in a different direction. For some of us, there may be a really cool opportunity on the horizon. So I'm really excited to hear if something comes up for you. Please comment on this podcast or send me an email at astrologynowpodcast@gmail.com. And maybe we can share. I'm really interested to see how this impacts everyone, because again, it doesn't happen super often. And Uranus is about awakening. And so there can be big discoveries. The truth can come to light. Jupiter is the truth. Of course, it's also law and order. And so around this period of time, there can be interesting information coming up, discoveries being made, truth being revealed. So could also influence world leaders or teachers, maybe spiritual teachers too. That's what Jupiter represents. So this is another big one. On April 22nd, Mars is going to enter the sign of Pisces. My gosh, the stellium in Pisces is never ending. And something that I was telling my class the other day, I am kind of wrapping up the Inner Knowing Vedic coaching program for this cohort. We began in fall of 2023, and so we're beginning to wrap up in May. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just feel like I'm working through a fog. Like, Pisces is such a fun, spiritual, interesting energy, but it can also kind of give us, again, like we're seeing through a screen door, or there's like a fog around us. And having Mars enter Pisces is just kind of adding fuel to the fire. So anyway, so Mars is going to be in Pisces from April 22nd until June 1st. Mars in Pisces in general, it can create a lot of subconscious movement because Pisces is the subconscious mind. It's the spiritual mind. Again, it's the things that are very real but can't necessarily be seen. And so it is actually a phenomenal time for spiritual development and meditation. It's also great for exploration. And Pisces represents the feet, Mars's activity. It's excellent for taking long walks, for running long distances, for hiking, for being more active. And again, if we want to join like a new course or do something for our own spiritual development, it's a pretty powerful time. I think a lot of us will feel more inspired to engage in spiritual practice. And Mars is going to be with Neptune. It's going to be with Rahu the entire time. And then it's going to be with Venus and Mercury some of the time. So definitely passions are running high. We may feel a little bit more inclined to engage in arguments or disputes. We may just be feeling extra spicy. If you've met somebody with Mars and Rahu, which I feel like everyone in my life has a Mars and Rahu combination. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not much. Mars and Rahu, when they can join, it amplifies the energy of Mars. People become very, very energetic, very active. And Mars is the planet of conflict and aggression and irritability. And so those qualities are enhanced, as is bravery, confidence, courage. All of that to say, we want to be mindful when it comes to how we engage with conflict, how we engage with arguments. We might be feeling a little bit spicier than usual. We might be feeling a little bit more argumentative than usual, especially while Mercury is here, because Mercury is how we communicate. And so please do engage in conflicts only if they're super necessary. Try not to get caught up in things just to be right or just to win an argument. It's just really choose your battles wisely. Mars is also the planet of energy and is the planet of accidents and injuries. Of course, just general activity. With Mars being with Rahu, we do have a little bit more of a tendency to have accidents and injuries, or to sprain an ankle, to injure our foot, because Pisces is specifically the feet. Of course, it will depend on our birth chart what body part is vulnerable, but for everyone, Pisces is the feet. It's also the nervous system. And so for all of us, we can keep an extra close eye on these things and take really good care of ourselves. Again, Mars and Pisces can be quite combustible. And Mars in a water sign isn't necessarily the most comfortable. When Mars is in Pisces, it may struggle with knowing when to engage in conflict and also maybe even how to stand up for themselves. Some of us may have experiences where we struggle knowing if we're in the right, or we struggle knowing if we should stand up for ourselves or be an advocate for ourselves. And so, you know, remember that we have a Mars for a reason, and we shouldn't just haphazardly wield a sword around necessarily, but it is important that we are that we are assertive when we need to be, and that we are strong-willed when we need to be. And on the global level, and even on a personal level, something to keep in mind is that Pisces is the natural 12th sign. And the 12th sign is about foreigners, and it's about hidden enemies and hidden agendas. This transit can rock the boat a bit with foreign connections. It can bring an extra emphasis to global affairs. And there can be an emphasis on hidden enemies or attacks and volatility. So that's something that we should absolutely be keeping an eye on. I do think that this can be an explosive time and a heated time. Mars and Rahu, remember we were talking about in October, I was like, Mars and K2 don't always cause catastrophe, but when catastrophe happens, they're often affiliated. It's like Mars and Rahu, again, it doesn't always cause a catastrophe, but it absolutely amplifies the energy of intensity and volatility. This combination is occurring in the fourth house for the United States, and so there can be issues on the homeland. There can be issues with citizens. People may be feeling restless and unhappy with the way that things are going, you know? And Pisces does have this connection to kindness and helping others and humanity. And so it can absolutely bring humanitarian causes to the surface too. But I just see a lot of volatility. I see a lot of restlessness, and there can be some impulsive, explosive, maybe even violent events that occur. I hope that that's not the case, but it's absolutely possible. Let's see. On April 21st, Venus is going to enter its Gandhanta degrees. On April 24th, Venus is going to enter Aries, where it will stay until May 18th. And so Venus entering Aries is definitely a different energy than Venus in Pisces. And we can talk about this also in the May horoscope because it's going to be more prominent in May. Venus in Aries is also incredibly passionate, and then there can also be an impulsivity, a fiery quality to Venus. And so it's an amazing time for physical activity and finding joy in physicality. Again, taking walks, taking runs, spending time outside. And also, you know, we may find that when Venus is in Aries, we ourselves are just feeling a little bit more fiery, and it can absolutely increase passion and desire in general. So it could be in dating, but it could also be for various things in life and in material reality. But again, we can talk about that more in May. On April 23rd, we will have our full moon in Swati, which we will do an entire horoscope on later in the month. And so some events as we move into May is that Jupiter will move into the sign of Taurus on May 1st. So this is a big transit. This happens once a year where Jupiter changes signs. Jupiter is going to move out of Aries and into the sign of Taurus, again, from May 1st of 2024 into May of 2025, putting this emphasis on food and resources and the economy. I will also do an entire segment on this. The other event that I want to put on all of your radar is that we will have Akshaya Tritiya on May 10th. So this is, in my opinion, the most auspicious day of the year. There are a few days of the year that are considered one of the most auspicious days of the year. I love Akshaya Tritiya. This is when the sun is exalted. It's when the moon is exalted. It's a day where people get married or have new beginnings. They start new projects. It's an overall blessed, auspicious time. And so it's May 10th. So if there's something that you've been wanting to cultivate or start or promote, you may get working on that now so that you can promote it on this really special, beautiful day. And remember that Akshaya Tritiya is a Hindu tradition. It's a tradition of Sanatana Dharma, and everything that we're talking about with Vedic astrology is stemmed from Vedic philosophy. It's from ancient Indian wisdom. And so I think it's always so important to stop and offer gratitude for the amazing science and technology that has come out of India. And I was talking about this on Patreon. I was talking about remedial measures for planetary energies. I spoke to a scientist recently. She's a scientist and she's also a jeweler. And I was telling her about remedial gemstones. So, you know, if you have an afflicted sun, you might want to get a gemstone to support your sun, or if you have an afflicted Mercury. And she's like, well, you know, I don't really understand it on the spiritual basis, but from a scientific perspective, I can understand why looking at different colors or looking at different shapes can have an impact on the neurological system. And I was thinking about this, and the ancient seers, the individuals who developed ancient Vedic technology, they were scientists. You know, this wasn't new to them. They were not ignorant to these things. One of the original texts for Jyotish or Vedic astrology is the Parashara Horashastra. That is scientific research. When we read the Yoga Sutras, this is scientific research. This is technology, and it may be verbalized in a different way, but they had complete understanding of how nature and how our physical bodies worked, and how when we view things and perceive things, how it influences us on a neurological level, you know, how it influences our nervous system. And so to me, this is science, and it is science. Ayurveda is Vedic philosophy. It's the science of life. Jyotish is Vedic astrology. It's the science of light. It's a different approach to science. We've developed that science is this very specific thing that follows very Western perspective and very Western modalities. But that's not the end-all be-all. That's not the only way to approach science. And we are figuring that out more and more. And maybe as we move through some of these transits with all of the scientific quote-unquote breakthrough, we'll start discovering just how much merit that there is in these ancient approaches to science. And, you know, I don't want to get on a tangent, but just one more thing. It never ceases to blow me away when I see articles where it's like, scientific breakthrough, turmeric is anti-inflammatory. It's like, yeah. Ancient India has known that for a really long time. Or I saw an article recently that was like, scientists discovered that there's a consciousness to everything. And it's like, is that a discovery? Or is that something we've known for like a really, really long time if we were to listen to the ancient seers? So anyway, I digress. I want to offer my complete obeisances to the scientists from India that offered us the amazing modalities of Jyotish and Ayurveda and yoga. And hopefully this podcast served you well and you have a guide to support you through the month of April. I will be talking to you all next month. Again, if you want to sign up for Patreon, it's patreon.com/astrologynowpodcast. My Instagram is astrologynow_podcast and my website is innerknowing.yoga. Again, my name is Christine Rodriguez. This is Astrology Now. Thank you so much.